Today is the third Sunday after the Epiphany. Our scripture readings from the sacred scripture from Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 1 through 3, 5 and 6, and 8 through 10. Psalm 19, verses 7 through 14. And the Gospel according to Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 30. The message is titled, Of the Written Word. Nehemiah chapter 8. Beginning at verse 1. All the people assembled as one man in the square before the water gate. They told Ezra the scribe to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. So on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women, all who were able to understand. He read it aloud from daybreak till noon as he faced the square before the water gate in the presence of the men, women, and others who could understand. And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. Ezra opened the book. All the people could see him because he was standing above them. And as he opened it, the people all stood up. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands and responded, Amen! Amen! Then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. They read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people could understand what was being read. Then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them all, This day is sacred to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. Nehemiah said, Go and enjoy your choice food and sweet drinks. Send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is sacred to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Here ends our reading from the book of Nehemiah. Psalm 19, a psalm of David, beginning at verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure, and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then will I be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Here ends our reading from Psalm 19, the Gospel according to Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse 16. He went to Nazareth, that is Jesus. Jesus went to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue as was his custom. And he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. Because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. Jesus said to them, "Surely you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal thyself.' Do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum." "I tell you the truth," he continued, "no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years and there was severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha the prophet. Yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian." All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of the town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him down the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. Here ends the reading from the Gospel according to Luke chapter 4. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. O loving Master, shine into our hearts by the pure light of knowing you. Open the eyes of our minds to reflect on your teaching and put into us the holy respect of your blessed commandments. Lead us to set aside all that is worldly that may follow a spiritual life, thinking and doing all things as it pleases you. For you are our sanctification and our illumination, and to you we give all glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. A prayer from the early church, our prayer this day. Have you noticed the art of writing? Handwriting is passing away. I've read various places are hiring people that can read cursive writing. Now, I've received postcards with handwritten notes on them, but I really struggle to recall the last time I wrote a personal letter out by hand, nor remember the last time I received a handwritten letter that came in the mail. Letters such as they were, traveling back and forth in generations past. There was a set of letters handed down to my mom. Letters that were handwritten, that came in the mail, they actually crossed the sea in square-rigged sailing ships. The letters were written in the late 1800s, 1870s, 1880s and such, to the family members who had emigrated from Norway to America, from the family members who remained in Norway, and the writing back and forth, they knew they would never see each other again. They were keeping in touch by letters. We were able to get those Norwegian letters translated. When my dad took the family to Boston area, he was assigned to Hanscom Air Force Base. Our home in Dayton was rented out. And it happened to be a Norwegian Air Force officer assigned as a liaison to Wright Pat and his family. They graciously translated the letters for my mom. The letters were, believe it or not, of what you would write. Everyday conversation of what was happening, and of course included how the weather was too. This last night, as I opened up Microsoft 365 Word, starting my Saturday evening usual, I noticed something new. It evidently had been updated since the last time I used it, and a little doohickey started popping up on the left side of the page on the screen. I thought to myself, what in the world is this little annoying thing That little annoying doohickey that was annoying me because there's more annoying, and it became much more annoying when I figured out what it was. AI co-pilot. AI, be a co-pilot. Actually, a co-pilot to influence you on what you need to do. Is that really a co-pilot? I clicked on that silly symbol that was so annoying, and a window box popped open. And in the box were these words. Describe what you'd like to write. Then space to start describing, and there's a counter of 0 to 2,000 spaces to use on that little box. And then below the box was this little box button with the word, inspire me. So this led me to do a web search on AI sermon preparation. And then, believe it or not, there's a web page titled, AI Sermon Generator for Biblical Preaching. Try it for free. No credit card needed. I was not tempted to try it, though. I'm not tempted at all. Rest assured, these words are not artificial intelligence generated, whereas I pray that somehow, somewhere in these words is the moving of the Holy Spirit to awaken, bless, build up, and encourage the faith. And those who hear these words here this morning, and those who may hear these words on the web from our Faith in Christ webpage, sermon MP3 files that are stored there. I did continuing searching about AI sermon preparation and AIs and sermons in this. And these are several web pages that popped up in blogs, news, etc. One page was titled, Don't Be an Artificial Preacher, an argument against using AI in sermons. Another page titled, Empty Words. AI homilies might sound good, but. And so I read that one a little farther down and quoting it too a little farther down. Artificial intelligence may draft a good sermon, one that keeps the congregation interested and engaged. The words may be well chosen and inspiring, but they will also be like the program that creates them. Sufficient, but empty. Real preaching is more about the person and the lived life behind the words than the words themselves. Concluding, he wrote, in an increasingly virtual world, the church will not survive without genuine faith and authentic virtue. Facsimiles will not do. That's why I'd rather listen to a lackluster homily offered by a true but struggling disciple than anything a lifeless silicon chip can devise. And that was from the page titled, Empty Words, AI Homilies Might Sound Good, But. Many generations past, they used to write daily journals. Do any of you keep daily journal? You know, that dear diary that you've seen in movies and ages past? Generations ago, they would keep a diary of what was happening. And in those journals would be written down in ink, thoughts full of the emotions of the heart and the sacredness of the soul's interaction with life. Of the written word. The written word can be powerful, mighty. The written word has been recognized as moving history, the communicator of the soul, for good or for ill. For ill, the written word for ill. Consider what has happened in history due to the Communist Manifesto being written. Or on the origin of species being written, the destruction those writings have brought. Great destruction those writings have wrought in history. On the other hand, consider what has come about from the Magna Carta of 1215, which introduced due process of law. Four original copies of the Magna Carta, yes, four original copies from 1215, they still exist. Or think about the 95 theses that were nailed to the Wittenberg church door that really transformed human history. How about the words of the Declaration of Independence with all men created equal? Or the Constitution with we the people? Very far from I the king to we the people. Of the written word, carefully composed and carefully kept for generations to be able to read for themselves and experience the power of what was written. In the book of Nehemiah, we are given insight into of the written word and its power. But what this brings us is an insight into the true sacredness, the reality of the sacredness of the Scriptures, God's holy word. Ezra, along with Zerubbabel, led the people back to Jerusalem to resettle and rebuild, rebuilding the temple. And then years later, Nehemiah would rebuild the city walls. But with all that rebuilding, more importantly, was the calling of the people's hearts back to the Lord, focusing on the worship life of the people. The rough timeline, 538 BC, Zerubbabel, and the first return of the exiles to Jerusalem. The rebuilding of the temple begins. That's 538. 516 BC, the temple is completed after many starts, stops. 516 BC, the second temple is completed. 458, so you see it several years later, 458, Ezra comes now with the second return of the exiles. And it's a few years later, in 444 BC, Nehemiah returns to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Now, all during that time frame, from Zerubbabel in 538 to Nehemiah in 444, these books are also taking place. The prophets of Haggai, Zechariah, Esther, too, was during that timeline. And the prophet Malachi was a contemporary of Nehemiah. So all of this is happening in this time frame. The temple was rebuilt. The walls of Jerusalem rebuilt. The walls were rebuilt in a record 52 days. The temple took more than 20 years, but the walls were rebuilt in 52 days. And then Nehemiah leaves for a while, and the people drift back into their old habits. Their old habits and behavior. When Nehemiah returns back to Jerusalem, the apostasy just appalls him. What has happened? There's the temple. The walls are rebuilt. What are you doing in worship? Or lacking in worship? Forgetting to worship? The moral and spiritual life must be addressed of the people. And the moral and spiritual life, it really means the worship life of the people, because everything else flows from the worship life of the people. The worship life of the people was a mess. Revival is what's needed. Revival. And you'll find that the renewal begins with God's Word. God's Word. It's of the written Word. The people are gathered in Jerusalem. Ezra, teacher of the law, brings out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. From the morning sun of daybreak till noon, Ezra reads, and the people listen attentively. Ezra was high up on a platform built especially for this occasion, platform so the people could see him and see what he's reading from. And so Nehemiah chapter 8, beginning of verse 5. Ezra opened the book. All the people could see him because he was standing above them. And as he opened it, the peoples all stood up. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands and responded, "Amen, amen." Then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces on the ground. Ezra's a scribe. Ezra's also a priest. He opened the book in the sight of the people so the people would see the source of the words. Where the words come from is so important. What is the source of the words? Who is the source of the words? These are the words the Lord God gave to Moses. That's what Ezra will be reading. All the people could see him, and Ezra begins the moment in reverence and in submission. It doesn't quite come across very well in the English. Ezra opened the book, and all people, the Hebrew brings so much more to it you don't see in the English. Ezra begins by recognizing and acknowledging Yahweh, the great God, as the source of these words. It is Yahweh, the great God, who gave us these words with reverence and worship. That's how Ezra begins. At the water gate, and water is the symbol of purification and spiritual renewal. From hearing of the written word, the people respond with tears and sorrow for their disobedience. Nehemiah chapter 8, beginning at verse 9. Then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and teacher of the law, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them, "This day is holy to the Lord, your God. Do not mourn or weep." You see, the people were mourning and weeping as they heard the word of God, and they recognized their life was not living or worshiping as the word of God instructed and taught. For all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. It says there at the end of verse 9, verse 10, Nehemiah said, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Spiritual revival came. It came of the written word. Returning to the reality of the truth of the written word. No explaining away in an attempt to contemporize that word as that was then, this is now. None of that. It is the word. It's of the written word of God. This gathering of one people to hear the word of God read out loud, it set forth the pattern that has been placed to this very day with us here at Faith in Christ. From this time in Jerusalem, it became the pattern of the synagogues, which carried over into the early church and is now brought down to us this very day. The reading of the Word of God as written as the Word of God, and then explained, taught, proclaimed. No attempt to say that was then, this is now, to say it no longer applies, which happens in many other places, but not here. But this is the Word of God. Consider this, Psalm 19, written by David. Verse 7, I begin. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. Really let that lasting part sink in. The words of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. When you say that was then and you dismiss the word for this is now, how can you revive a soul? You can't revive a soul. How can you introduce a soul to the righteousness of God when they're lost in their unrighteousness, but you're saying that word no longer applies, which calls them to righteousness? How do you revive the soul of the lost, broken person who needs the soul revived? Of this word written is power to revive the soul, to make wise, to give joy, to give light, teach reverence for the great Lord our God, for these are all together righteous. Of this written word is power. I encourage you to approach the Bible, the sacred scriptures, as the written word of God, which is altogether righteous. For it will revive your soul. It will give you light. It will give you joy. It will give you the fear of the Lord too. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. I mean, it will change you, transform you and your soul. In Luke chapter 4, we have a time of fulfilling. A time of fulfilling. This is fulfilled today. But before we get to that, there's a verse, two verses there, that are used as a transition to cover an amount of time. From the testing in the wilderness to his going home to Nazareth in the synagogue. There's a period of time we don't know anything about and what took place. So beginning in Luke chapter 4, verse 14. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. So that's after the testing in the wilderness. And the power of the Spirit. And news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in the synagogues, and everyone praised him. So it's a transition of time. And now we come to the events of today. Eventually, he heads to his hometown. And notice the importance of reading from the Word of God as established in Nehemiah chapter 8. Here, it's the Sabbath. And Jesus, his usual habit and routine, Jesus went into the worship in the synagogue. Sabbath and synagogue. Be in the synagogue. Sabbath, synagogue. That was his way of living from childhood. Because we read about in other places in Scripture how Mary and Joseph did the obligations of the covenant, fulfilled the feast and all these things. So Jesus, Sabbath, synagogue. It's his way of living life. Now this Sabbath in his hometown, he's come back. He stood up to read. And by the sovereignty of God, the divine hand of God acting in this moment, the scroll of Isaiah was handed to Jesus. I say this in acknowledgement of what is about to take place. Jesus unrolls the scroll, finds the verses written 700 years earlier, and reads words written for this very moment. The words are in Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 and 2, as we notate Isaiah, the books of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah, Isaiah 61, 2. So here, Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. Jesus reads from the scroll of Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then, as in Nehemiah 8, the scripture being read is then explained. Luke chapter 4, verse 20. "Then he," that's Jesus, "rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, 'Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing.'" The Greek word translated as "today" can also be translated as "now." Now. Now this scripture is fulfilled. That scripture, 700 years in the making. Now, this is fulfilled. This passage of Isaiah was known as describing the coming Messiah. Jesus, by saying, "Now is fulfilled in your hearing," is very clear. He's claiming and stating very straightforward, he is the Messiah, the promised anointed one. The people were listening. They were listening in amazement, soaking in the words of Jesus. Just an amazing, wonderful moment. Until, like bursting a bubble, someone said, or others said, "Isn't this Joseph's son?" In other words, isn't this the kid from down the street, around the corner of the carpenter shop? And the whole atmosphere changed. The whole atmosphere of the moment, from amazement and soaking in, all of a sudden became, "What is he saying? What are you doing?" and all that. I mean, it just changed. Jesus then spoke of Elijah and the widow of Zarephath, and Elisha and the healing of Naaman the Syrian. How quickly the mood changed from that amazement, soaking in his words, to fury. Yes, fury. Such fury there drove him out of the synagogue. They drive him towards the edge of the cliff that Lazarus is built upon with the intent to throw him over the cliff and kill him. An amazing moving of God. Jesus just passed right through the crowd and went away. What brought the renewal in Nehemiah chapter 8? What pointed to Jesus as the Messiah? In Luke chapter 4, the written word of God. It is through the written word of God, we come to know the nature and character of God. Through the written word of God, we recognize God's hand in history. Through the written word of God, we realize we are fallen in need of what only God can give, a righteousness from God. Through the written word, we learn the reality of sin and the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, shedding his blood for us to pay in full the redeeming price. Crucified, dead, and buried, rising on the third day, ascending, and will come again for us. Mercy in Jesus' name. Healing wonders in Jesus' name. Compassion and grace bringing salvation in Jesus' name. Life in Jesus' name. Eternal life being forgiven of sin and set free in Christ forever. Because God declares us righteous with a righteousness from God in Christ. What we truly needed. You read of that, of the written word in the sacred scriptures. You will find all of this being set free in Christ forever. You'll find all of this in the sacred scriptures. In reverence, read the word. Gather in worship, as was Jesus' custom. This is there for you. It is all there for you. For it is of the written word of God. Amen and amen.